want to look with us, we'd like to go to the book of Matthew. Chapter number 14 of the book of Matthew. Chapter 14 of Matthew, verse number 20. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. And straightway Jesus constrains his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent away, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. And the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the privilege, oh God, of being in your house today. We're thankful for your word that's already challenged our hearts, the meeting that has progressed thus far. Thank you, Lord, for what we've sensed, what we have felt. We ask you, Lord, that you'd help us. I stand before you and in the presence of this congregation and recognize that I need you. Help us, Lord, as only you can. Give us sweet victory around the altar. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. 14th chapter of the book of Matthew. The chapter is taken up by two tremendous miracles that happened. I want to tell you right now that when we look at this passage of Scripture, we become aware right away that the feast that was provided for the multitude in the desert was undoubtedly, if not the greatest, certainly among the greatest of all the works that the apostles, while following Jesus Christ in his ministry, was engaged in or involved in. I don't know that you can put one miracle greater than any other miracle that Jesus done, but at the same time, because of the scope of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, if you do categorize them in greatness, you would have to put that as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, of all the miracles, because of all the people it affected. Everybody that was there that day had a miracle. Everybody there that day had a miracle. But, you know, when you get in such an atmosphere, and perhaps you're familiar with the story, you know, the need to feed the 5,000, not send them home, not let them go home, afraid some of them would faint by the wayside. And so they take the two fishes and the loaves, and they feed the 5,000, and the Lord has blessed them, and they feed the 5,000. And, you know, what an atmosphere that must have been. Just think about the atmosphere and the attitude of individuals after they were seated and everybody got to, not only got to eating, but everybody was getting filled. I've always said, Brother Ralston, that that's one of the great miracles, if not the greatest in the whole story, that everybody was filled. I just pastor a small church and I can't think of one service when everybody left filled. Come on. Hallelujah. But everybody was filled on that day. They was all filled. We know the story. 12 baskets of the fragments were collected, and we are aware of that. But I want you to know that that the scripture makes it plain to you and I that everybody got filled. Everybody was involved in the miracle. And my, what an atmosphere. You know, it's kind of like a great meeting or a great camp meeting. And in the middle of a camp meeting, the spirit of the services and the spirit of the individuals is high. And, you know, you just gather around and you're talking and you're involved. And everybody you meet and say, man, wasn't that great preaching? And, man, didn't that help you? And the altar services and the singing. Just everything that takes place in the service just seems to be what folks are needing. And that's what they got on their mind. And so perhaps on this particular day when the multitude was being fed and everybody was getting filled with food that they never expected to have and just an added blessing, can you imagine the conversations of everybody that was around and the groups that were around about how great the Lord is? And probably if it's like a lot of us, before long they forgot about all the words that was being taught and they were more concerned about the miracle that they were taking part in. And it was just such a great atmosphere. And then these 12 disciples, man, I mean, they've got this fish and loaves and they've got it in their hand and they're going around and they really can't believe what's happening in themselves. The multitude is being fed and here they've got the food right in their hands after the Lord has blessed it and break it and gave it to them and now they're distributing. And I, please, you know, Any way I try to describe what happened would just have to be a figment of my imagination. I just can't imagine how they could take that. I don't know if they just broke it off and what they broke off of kept growing. I mean, even if the Lord took their appetites and most of them away, you're still talking about only two fishes and five loaves of bread. I mean, come on here now. I don't know how it was done. Hallelujah. But I do know it was done. Praise God. And can you imagine not only the attitude and the atmosphere, Brother Head, of the multitude, but just think about the 12 disciples. Brother Gentry, hallelujah. What is going on here? Praise God. What's happening? Praise the Lord, you know. And so there must have been such a glorious atmosphere and everybody was excited. Everybody was involved in the miracle. Nobody was drawing back. Nobody was holding back. From the oldest to the youngest, from the biggest to the smallest, everybody was getting filled. Oh, come on here now. Praise God. But then all of a sudden, in the middle of such a great atmosphere, Jesus comes over, taps the disciples and said, you got to go. All right. But Lord, man, we're in a glorious place. Yeah. You have got to go. Wow. As a matter of fact, the Bible uses the word he constrains them. They don't understand it. What do you mean go? We're in a perfect place. Your word, you've taught to them, you've given them what they needed to hear, and now you're satisfying their natural needs, and we're enjoying the company, we're having wonderful fellowship, but Jesus constrains them. He said, you've got to go. So, hallelujah. I don't know if it was reluctantly or not, but they laid down the fishes and the loaves. They gather together and go down to the shore of Tiberias. And Jesus says, I see you on the other side. Well, you're not going with us? No, I'm staying here. You mean you're sending us away and you're not even going with us? Well, the Bible teaches to you and I that on his words and his wishes, the Bible says to you and I that they left. And I don't know. I hope the Lord will help us today. I'm counting on him helping us. But I want you to understand, sometimes, Brother Gentry, even though we know the will of God, it's hard to understand. I just don't understand that. Sending them away. Sending us away when so much is going on. Sending us away when so many is being blessed. Sending us away when so much food is here. But Jesus constrains them. They get on board the ship. I want to tell you something right now, folks. No matter how it looks, it's best to obey God. no matter how unusual it may seem. Especially in the case of knowing for sure. I mean, this wasn't the Lord, you know, just dealing something with their mind, or heaven trying to get their attention, saying, well, this is the Lord coming and say, you've got to leave here. Constraining them to get into the ship and go to the other side and sail across the Sea of Tiberias. But you know, as human beings and as men, mankind, part of the human race, I assume we all are. Most of us. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something today. We are unusual individuals. If we hold the miracle long enough, we almost get to thinking we are the miracle.
All right.
Especially if somebody's patting us on the back and say, I never saw it like this before. Hallelujah. And I suppose that one of the reasons that Jesus constrained those disciples to get on board the ship, told those apostles, come on, you got to get out of here, because he knew what the people was going to do. And he knew that too many pats on the back, too many high words, could have a negative influence on their attitude. They would get to thinking, that's right. They'd get to thinking, hey, look at this. We broke the bread and gave it to them. And look at this multitude that's being fed.
All right.
Hallelujah. I remember as a young preacher, I went to preach one time, and I had a precious uncle. I don't even know if Sharon and I was married yet. We're heading right there, getting close to 40 years of matrimonial bliss. And so it's been a long time ago. And I preached a little service at a little place called Logan Creek. And felt like the Lord helped me. And some of the folks told me that it was a good message, and they really appreciated it. And on the way home, Brother Ralston, I was driving the car, and I looked over at my uncle, and I said, well, Uncle Sonny, how'd you like to preach in tonight? Yeah, he said, it's all right. Praise God. So on the way home, I prayed, Lord, help me not to get puffed down. Help me not to get too discouraged. Help me not to be. Sometimes the Lord knows what's going on, folks. And so with these disciples, you got to get out of here. You got to leave right away. You should never, there's never a minister nor an individual that should tread on the territory where the Lord stands alone. It's his miracle. He's the one that done it. Thank God he had mercy on us and we were involved in it. And thank God in some cases it was us that the miracle came to. But Lord, help us that we never get to the place that we lose sight of the fact that he's the miracle worker.
Amen.
I was told about a preacher, pastored, and some of you knowed him and will remember him, but I was told about a preacher by the name of Allen, Ellis Allen, and he was pastoring in Barberville, Kentucky. And this story was related and was told. In fact, I heard him tell it at Charity Tabernacle years ago when he was preaching for Brother Ely, that he was in his study in the church house, and he quoted quite a bit of scripture, and he was in his study in the basement of the church at Barberville, Kentucky, Brother Crane. And while he was there on his knees praying, he was interrupted at a knock at the door. And another preacher who had come in and was in a denominational group, you know, he had come in and he was talking with Brother Allen for just a little bit. And he always studied on his knees and such. And so he raised up from his knees and talking to him. And Brother Allen said, this man, in the middle of his conversation, Brother Pittman took his hand like this and swatted it down on the desk and said, you see that hand right there? He said, there's power in that hand. Oil comes out of that hand for miracles. Hallelujah. And Brother Ellis looked at that man and throwed his hand down right beside him. He said, you see that hand? He said, yes, sir. He said, it's just like yours. It's just flesh and blood. And it does nothing without Christ.
That's right. Hallelujah. And that is, folks, exactly the truth. I said that is exactly the truth. Be sure you don't forget who the glory goes to. But then we come to what I want to preach about for a little while. We come to the disciples out on the Sea of Tiberias in the midst of the sea. Jesus has sent the multitude away. He's up in the mountain of praying. It was evening time. It was getting dark, and they were involved in a storm that they had not expected. And Jesus comes walking to them on the water. For a little while today, I'd like to preach to you on a subject, and my subject is a little lengthy, but stay with me. I want to preach to you on a deep sea, a great storm, and a weak vessel. A deep sea, a great storm, and a weak vessel. Here they are on the Sea of Tiberias. They are there without Jesus. They are there on their own. Jesus is nowhere to be seen. He's not in their vision whatsoever. And in the midst of that Sea of Tiberias, what the Bible said they were in the midst of it. The Sea of Tiberias, of course, was named after the city of Tiberias. And, it was a beautiful sea. And there was really no place on the sea that it was over 10 miles to get across it. However, the Bible said they were in the midst of the sea, so they were pretty well close to the middle of the sea. They were somewhere, brother and sister, to the deepest part of the sea when the storm comes. Before the storm hit, they saw the beautifulness of the sea. They could look in the background, and it was a very picturesque area and very scenic area. And Tiberias, it had castles in it and had old ruins around it even at that time. And it was just a very beautiful sight until the storm came. But when the storm came and the waves began to get bigger and mount bigger and bigger and higher, and the disciples were on board that ship, and we know because of the background of the disciples that probably at this time the best thing they could do was fish, and they knew about ships and they knew about water and they knew about storm, but this was a bad one. In fact, it was so bad that it looked like they were going down. And here they are on this ship. Sister Sharon sung, and one of the sections of the song that she sung today said there was no place to run. When you're out on board a ship and you're in the middle of a storm, where are you going to go? Come on. Where are you going to run? Hallelujah. And the Bible teaches to you and I that it was a deep, deep passage, or the scripture and history teaches it was a deep section. The water was deep. They were in the midst of it, but Jesus had told them, go and let's go to the other side. I want to tell you something right now. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus sometimes needs to humble us. Hallelujah. The multitude received the great miracle of the feeding, but now the disciples were alone. It was just the 12 of them out on the water. Hallelujah. And the storm came. I said the winds came, and here they were in the middle of that sea. Is it possible that today, in the middle of such a wonderful time and wonderful atmosphere, with the saints of God around and the preaching that you have already heard, that has been a challenge and fed our souls and challenged us to do better in following after Jesus Christ, is it possible that in the midst of all that, that we feel like we are alone and we feel like that nobody understands what we're going through? And is it possible that we are sailing that stormy sea of life, and maybe we've hit one of those deep places where we realize if we don't get help, we're going down, and we're not just going to go down a little bit, but that sea is deep. We're involved in that problem. We're involved in that trouble, and every day of our lives we find that we are going deeper and deeper and deeper, and we wonder how deep the water will be. In all of this time we have never reached the bottom. I've heard folks say, I just don't think it can get any worse than this, but it can. I've heard them say, I don't think they'll go any farther than that, but they do go farther than that. Hallelujah. And the scripture teaches they were in the midst of the sea. They were not close enough enough to the shore to turn around and get back. They were not far enough on their journey that they had hopes of making it to the other side. They were just caught right in the middle. They had no companions around. They had no other ships. They had nobody else to look to. It was just them. The winds were blowing. The waves were rolling. The thunder was crashing. The lightning was flashing. It was a bad time, and the end result seemed to be nothing but destruction. You know, the storm, you don't have to be afraid of the storm. The fearful thing is the results of the storm. What's going to happen because of the storm? Where am I going to end up when the winds quit blowing up and the waves quit rolling up? Where am I going to be? Hallelujah. What a deep situation to find ourselves in. Hallelujah. The apostles, the disciples had been highly exalted in just a few hours ago, passing out bread to a multitude of individuals. But now they were being humbled, reminded that they are nothing without Christ. That even the thing they should be the best at, they were failing at. Even the thing that they know the most about was seemingly crumbling right around them. Hallelujah. And they were going to be destroyed. My, what a terrible time it must have been. And it was a deep sea. It looked like there was no hopes whatsoever. There's nobody that can bring us out of this. There's nobody that can pull us out of this. Oh God, help us today. I want you to understand something right now. We find ourselves in our journey, in our travels, if we're not careful, just like these disciples. We find ourselves right in the midst of this storm upon these waters. Hallelujah. And it is a deep situation that we find ourselves in. Hallelujah. All of us should be aware that the disciples were there not of their own choosing. They were there because they were being obedient to Christ. They were doing what he told them to do. Go ahead. And they were doing it not only because he told them, but he hastened them. He constrained them. He unctioned them. You've got to do this. You've got to do this. It's not that they could have changed their mind and not done it, but he was right there. Come on, let's go. You've got to go. This is the journey you have to make. This is the trip you have to take. We've got to go across. I'll meet you on the other side. You've got to get across here. I'll send the group away. I'll send the multitude away. I don't know what they were expecting. I don't know what trip or which way they thought Jesus was going to go. I don't know how they expected to meet him, but they felt confident that they were going to meet him, and so they were following what Jesus told them to do. Oh my God, hallelujah. I tell you, they were right in the midst of it, Brother Ryan. The water was splashing against their face. The ship was filling with water. Hallelujah. They looked down and it was nothing but stormy waters. They looked up and it was nothing but dark clouds. They were caught right in the middle of it. It was a bad situation. And my, what a great storm it was. Hallelujah. It was not only a deep sea, but it was a great storm. The Bible said that little old vessel was just being tossed. Hallelujah. No matter what they tried to do, no matter what precautions they had taken, no matter what wisdom they had learned in their life's work, on the sea, none of it was seemingly helping. They were just tossed. Back and forth. Back and forth. Hallelujah. My, oh my. I wish I could get some help over here, but I ain't getting it. I wish you'd preach that, but that ain't helping me. I wish I could hear from heaven, but seem like the heavens have closed up. I mean, the storm has taken my hope away. The storm has taken my ambition away. My desire was to follow Jesus Christ, but this storm has even took my desires away from me. Hallelujah. That storm is so great in my life that it's robbed me of everything I held precious, everything I held dear. Hallelujah. The loves that I had are fallen by the wayside. Hallelujah. The hopes I had for my family, for my companion, for the work that I was doing, all of that had fallen by the wayside. Hey, sometimes it gets to the place that they're even questioning, what about, am I going to be able to continue to follow Christ? Everything was fallen. I mean, the storm was great. It was taking everything they had away from them. Oh, yes, it was. I want you to know sometimes that's the way it is in our lives. We get to the place that we question if anything's going to be successful, if anything's going to accomplish anything, if we're going to amount to anything, if life's ever going to get any better. It's just a storm. Will I ever escape it? It's a deep sea. It's a great storm. My God, hallelujah. I've never seen it like this before. Just a few hours ago, the miracle had their attention. Just a few hours ago, Brother Ryan Ralston, I'm telling you right now, the fishes and the loaves and the multitude and the excitement and the aura that was around the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 was just feeding their souls, and they were so engulfed in what was going on in the feeding of the 5,000. But now, just a few hours later, it can change so quickly. They were not interested in the loaves. They were not even thinking about the fishes. They weren't concerned about the 5,000 that they had left on the bank. No, no, no. Now all they were concerned about is surviving just a little bit longer. Can I make it another minute? Can I make it another hour? Am I going to get through this storm? My, oh my, where's the miracle now? Why aren't I finding the help that I need now? I've never seen a storm like this. Hallelujah. And perhaps with all the hope that is within you, you have come to this meeting in hopes of getting help to pull out of the storm. But it is a great storm. I said it is a great, great storm. And I want to tell you something. Weak vessel. It's a weak vessel. It's just a fishing boat. It's not a big luxury liner. Doesn't have all the fancies on it. It's just a boat. Just a fishing boat. But the truth of the matter is, Brother Terry, it wasn't just a weak vessel concerning the ship. It was a weak vessel concerning the individuals that were on the ship. We are weak. Jesus never one time addressed the condition of the vessel once he got on board. He addressed the condition of their hearts and what was not in their hearts that was supposed to be there after all they had seen. Come on here now. It's a weak vessel. I'm telling you, there is nothing like a storm to reveal to us the weakness. And is it possible that Jesus, who knowing all things, I don't believe that Jesus sent them on that passage across that water not knowing about a storm. I believe he knew about it the whole time. I really do. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you something. One of the things that they needed to understand is that without Christ, they were nothing. No matter what happened in their ministry, no matter what happened in their works, no matter what they were able to accomplish, if they ever got to the place that they were without Christ, the very best they could do would be a failure. And I'm telling you right now, while you're sitting in the house of God, you need to understand that your life without Jesus Christ is nothing. You will be a failure. If you succeed in everything your ambitions drives you to succeed in, and you leave here without Jesus Christ, I want you to know you'll be a failure. This life is nothing compared to eternity. Jesus says to these disciples, you must understand that without me, you are nothing. Where is the Lord when we need him? Why ain't he there? Our vessel is weak. The ship is filling with water. here. Our faith is gone. I'm telling you, it is a bad situation. Hallelujah. When everything we hope for and everything we plan for has fallen by the wayside, and we don't have the faith to believe for anything else, and we don't have the hope to believe for anything else, we have become so weak when we should be so strong. Have you forgot the fishes and the loaves? Hey, come on here now. It is a weak vessel. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you right now, when you combine those three situations, a deep sea, a great storm, and a weak vessel, perhaps we find ourselves in circumstances like this because the Lord is wanting to test our obedience. Am I going to obey Him? Hallelujah. Am I ready to follow Him as long as everything is just right? But what if a storm comes? Come on here now. What if it gets rough? And please don't misunderstand me. That's really not a good terminology in this message. I'm not talking about it getting rough. I'm talking about it looking bad. Hallelujah. I'm talking about hopelessness. I mean, after all, who is going to expect the Lord to come walking on the water? I know. I understand your faith. You know that He's coming. Hallelujah. But walking on the water? If we're looking for help, we're looking for another ship. We're looking for something we can understand. But now, a man walking on water? Never in my wildest imaginations. Hallelujah. I like to think that I have faith. But I tell you, I must confess, if I'd have been on board the ship, I don't think it would have ever entered my mind that I'd look up and Jesus would be standing on the waves. Whoo, hallelujah. How is your obedience? How far will you go? What will you put on the line to be obedient to Christ? Huh? What will you lay down to be obedient to Christ? How far are you willing to go? The disciples found themselves in the middle of a storm. They found themselves in the middle of that storm all alone. Hallelujah. I always knew the end is coming, but I didn't think it'd be like this. I thought He'd be standing with me. I thought He'd be near. I thought He'd be close by. I didn't know it'd come like this. A deep sea? Oh, yeah. There's no bottom to it. If you end up in it, you'll go deeper and deeper and deeper. That's the way sin's going to take you, deeper and deeper and deeper. And the storm is going to be so great that it's going to rob you of everything that's ever been precious in your life. It could take it all away from it and make it all look dim and fade away. Hallelujah. And the vessels are so weak. I said the vessels are so weak. There's no place to hide on the vessel. There's no place to run on the vessel. Our faith is being squandered away because we're always having the problem of seeing Christ above all of our problems and troubles. Hallelujah. It makes for a bad situation. But please, for just a little while, let me tell you something. There's one more point I want to make to you. It may be, I said it may be a deep sea. And yes, assuredly, it may be a great storm. And yes, undoubtedly, the vessels are weak, but I want to tell you, we got a mighty Savior. Hallelujah. I don't want to leave you out on the sea. Are you hearing me? I don't want to leave you in the middle of the storm. I don't want to leave you all alone. I want to tell you, we have a mighty Savior. Hallelujah. Who, even though our thoughts are not on Him and our concerns are not about Him, all we're concerned with is surviving. All we're concerned with is making it through somewhere. Hallelujah. Maybe it's on the mountain of prayer. I don't know just where it is, but somewhere the eyes of the Lord fall upon us and we are made aware because of His constant concern and because of His constant interest. We are made aware that we have a mighty Savior. Hallelujah. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God that He was willing to die. Amen. Thank God that He was willing to shed His blood and give us the ability to find God as our Lord and find Christ as our Savior. But now listen to me. It doesn't just stop there. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end. The storm doesn't stop me. The waves don't stop me. The sea doesn't stop me. The problem doesn't stop me. We've got a mighty Savior who has promised to be there and stand by us. It may be in an unusual way. It may be coming some way I don't even think about or I'm not even expecting. But thank God the mighty Savior will come just when we need Him. Hallelujah. Whoo! Please don't fall out with me. I'm not trying to be harsh, nor am I trying to be mean, but I'm trying to preach a little reality to you. Don't get so spiritual that you think if you'd been on board the ship, you'd have done anything different. Well, if I'd have been there, I would have preached faith to them. Oh, God help you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. I'm telling you right now, I like it, Brother Crane. But I'll tell you what, Peter didn't get any intentions of walking on the water till Jesus revealed Himself. He was going down. And then when Jesus revealed Himself, it's a spirit. It ain't Him. My God, I can see the waves, but that ain't Him. I can feel the wind and the wave are just splashing in my face. And that old salty taste, it's in my mouth and it's drying on my skin. And it's just, I'm right in the middle of these problems and I'm right in the middle of these troubles. And even though the Lord is there, I can't recognize Him. I can't see Him. I preach about Him. We sing about Him. Hallelujah. I've been raised in it. But sometimes the storm is so great that even though I'm looking right at Him, I don't see Him. Something about the vision that is blurred by the storm. I don't understand that it's Him. But listen, it is Him. I said it is Him. He is walking on the water. He has come to us. He has proved Himself again. John, do you see what I see? Well, I think so, Peter. Hallelujah. Come on here. It has to be a spirit. It has to be a spirit. It is not Him. Come on here now. That fear had gotten such a hold of their hearts that they couldn't see Him. Hey, you are not alone. Just because you don't see Him doesn't mean He ain't there. Just because you don't recognize Him doesn't mean He doesn't recognize you and that He ain't seeing you. Whoo, glory to God. I'm telling you, it may be a deep sea. It may be a great storm. We may be weak vessels, but we have a mighty, mighty Savior. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. One that walks on the water. And come on here now. I want to tell you something about a storm and about Christ walking on the water. Our vision of Christ will be enhanced so much greater, Brother Terry, when we see Him on the waves. Far greater than it would ever be revealed when we see Him on land. Hallelujah. When we see Him on land, sure, He does great things. But I'm telling you right now, when we see Him standing on top of the waves, we get a better vision. we get a better picture. We see him in a greater way. Whoo, glory to God. Come on here now. I'm telling you, perhaps all we need this morning is for a few folks in this service today to realize that he's not just a land dweller. No. 1,000 times no. But he is a wave walker. Hallelujah. There's nothing that stops him. He goes where he wants to go. He does what he wants to do. He takes control over what he wants to take control over. His power is not limited to 5,000 or to 5 million. It's not limited to land. Hallelujah. It's not limited to the air. It's not limited to the seas. It is limitless. The power of God and his ability to move and his ability to work is far greater than we can imagine. Woo! I'm so glad to be here. Even if I wasn't preaching, I'd be glad to be here. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you something. I'm really excited too because all of my family's on their way. We got to have 2 pews for the Brock family now. Hallelujah. 16 of us. Praise God. Hallelujah. But on their way is that little old boy that when he was born, he just had a 50-50 chance of living. On his way with his wife and teenage son and 2 other children. Right. Is that old boy, hallelujah, that the doctor said, I'm sorry, Mr. Brock, but your son, because of the last half hour of the lack of oxygen to his brain before he was born, he's retarded and there's nothing that we can do for him. I could give you big medical terminologies, but that's simply the way it is. Hallelujah. Praise God. Finished high school, 2 years of college. Praise the Lord. Preaching the gospel and on his way to Savannah. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. All the grandkids are coming to hear Papa preach. And to see the ocean. But they're coming mainly to hear Pat Paul preach. I believe. Praise God. All I'm trying to say. That there's no limit to what he can do. I said there is no limit to what he can do. Sometimes. You may face the storm. So that Christ can get you to see him. In a different light. Hallelujah. I've set the lonely nights. I've wept and cried by myself, asking God to help a loved one. I've held hands to people that were close and dear to me and prayed when it looked like they were drawing their last breath. And really, Sister Sherry, they were. The Lord chose to take them on, but I've wept and cried and said, please, Lord, just a little more time. Praise God. And I felt his presence in such a sweet way. I felt him, Brother Austin, come so close to me. And I saw him in such a wonderful light. But I'm telling you, I've also saw him when the waves were rolling. And the storm was great. And the trouble was on every hand. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And all of a sudden, here he come. Praise God. It wasn't a streak of lightning that went across the sky. It wasn't just a quick glimpse and then he's gone. Hallelujah. But right on top of my problems, he comes marching. Hallelujah. Praise God. He can do that for you today. It may be, hey, it may be deep waters, and it may be a great storm, and it may be a weak vessel, but he is a mighty Savior, and his mightiness and his greatness supersedes all the others. It rises above everything else. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what. Clear your eyes. All right. Praise God. Rub the salt water out of them. Are you hearing me? That's right. All those troubles and those problems, get that all out of your sight and take another look. Lord, is that you? If that's you, bid me to come. Whoo! And he just says, come. And out of that ship jumped Richard Crane. Hallelujah. It's all right. Praise God. Out of that ship jumps Claude Ely. Hallelujah. And walking on the water. You thought it was amazing that he done it. What about you doing it? You thought that miracle was limited only to him? You thought he was the only one that could do it? Praise God. I know Peter began to sink. I understand he took his eyes off of Christ and began to sink. I preached a message some years back, another one of them old messages, Brother Gentry, but I preached on "We shall walk on the water again." Jesus took him by the hand and they walked back to the ship. We may be sinking, but if we'll get our eyes upon Jesus, if we recognize where our help is, I'm telling you, his ability to help us, his ability to move for us. Oh, glory to God. I'm glad for it today, aren't you? Sister Sharon, come to the piano if you would. Praise God. I'm telling you, folks, I'm telling you right now, no matter how bad it is, we've got a mighty Savior. No matter how rough it looks, we have got a mighty, mighty Savior. There's nothing that he can't do. There's no situation he can't move in if you just look to him. Stand with me today all over the building. Hallelujah. Sweet Jesus, help us. Help us around this altar. Hallelujah. Now listen. I want you to understand. The multitude that received the miracle, Brother Head, had done gone home. 5,000 men besides women and children. That's already gone, Brother Pittman. Hallelujah. Nobody knew where the disciples were. Nobody was aware of the condition of their situation that they were in. Only one. Hallelujah. I said only one. Their companions, their families, their friends, even those that had received such a great miracle were not aware. Hallelujah. But Jesus was. You stand in the sanctuary today. You may be sitting or standing by friends, or you may have friends in the sanctuary. Undoubtedly you do. The preachers are here that have preached. The wonderful pastor stands with me on the platform today. But the truth of the matter is, we don't know what's in their heart. We don't know what you're going through today. We sense that you're going through something because God deals with our hearts to preach. We have that much insight to what God may be perhaps wanting to do. But as to be able to pinpoint it, most of the time we can't. But the truth of the matter is, he not only knows where you're at, he knows what you're going through. He not only sees the storm. Whew, glory to God. He not only sees the storm that's raging without, but he sees the lack of faith that causes us to become weak within. And does he stand back and said, they needed faith. They should have had faith. They'll just have to make it the best way they can. No. Not our Savior. I said, no, not our mighty Savior. When he sees us struggling, when he sees us, as the scripture says, struggling in the, toiling in the rowing, you know what he does? He comes to us. And in this service today, I have a promise to make to you. I promise that if you act by faith and say, Lord, I need your help, I promise he'll meet you. If you'll be sincere, if you'll be earnest about it, he'll meet you. Sister Sharon is playing and going to sing. The altar's open for a season of prayer. We've got plenty of time for you to pray
like
today.
A blind man,
we got plenty of time for you to pray. The storm is great.
Just
the sea is deep. The vessels are weak. But he is mighty. Come on, all of us that would. Let's look to the mighty Savior this morning. Would you come? Hallelujah. We're looking to you. Lord, we're looking to you. We're counting on you.
I was down to nothing.
Hallelujah. What a mighty Savior we have.
When he came and picked me up.
Praise the name of the Lord.
I could never let myself forget what he has done. How he came and rescued me and where he brought me from. I am nothing without Christ. 'cause I'm nothing without Christ. There is nothing good in me that did not come from Him. Nothing I could boast of that He did not give. From the moment I cried out to heal my troubled soul, He welcomed me with open arms. He said, "All that's mine is yours." I can never let myself forget what He has done, how He came and rescued me and where He brought me from. I am nothing without Christ, nor He's everything to me. He is the reason that I live. He is my only need. I know I couldn't make it through one day without Jesus in my life, 'cause I'm nothing. Oh, I'm nothing without Christ.